Look there again with me at verse 4. We'll read this again. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Edom was Esau, that's his name. And this is a country named after him. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Whatever happens when you get discouraged, don't speak against God. And don't start blaming the preacher. Don't start fault with, if the preacher was doing what he ought to do, things would be better. Well, don't get, and the people spake against God and against Moses. And they said, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, and neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. What God gave them every morning, they said, we hate it, we loathe it. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against God, spoken against the Lord, and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Ain't that the way our Lord Jesus Christ is? We murmur, complain, find fault, get discouraged, and yet our Lord prays for us. Prays for us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the brass, he lived. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, when I read over there in John, he told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious leader. Our Lord said, you're a master in Israel. You're one of the leaders here. And yet you don't know a thing in the world. He was devout. He was a Pharisee. Supposed to have been a student of the Old Testament. And he told him, he says, you're a master of Israel and you don't know these things. And then he began to refer to himself. He said, Nicodemus, this is the way that a man gets life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him shall have everlasting life. And he used his death for sinners using an Old Testament type. Now all of God's people who've been born again, who've been regenerated, they see things. We see the kingdom of God. We see Christ in his kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. Not a kingdom that's going to come, a kingdom that's right now. We're in the kingdom of God. And Noah, they see things from God's word. We see the kingdom of God, and we see things that other word from God's word that other men do not see. And he said, we see it and we enter into the kingdom of God. A bunch of Pharisees and Jews came to the Lord one day and said, if you're the Christ, if you are the Christ, just tell us plainly. We want to know. And he said, I've told you, but you believe not. And you know why you don't believe? Because you're not of my sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And what a joy, what a blessing to be able to see our salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ in the types and pictures of the Old Testament. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, all the Old Testament pictures are just shadows. When Christ came, he was the actual substance. And they were pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's look together at this serpent of brass, which typical was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. It showed of our Lord's death on the cross for sinners. And I tell you, I believe we can see the gospel of grace preached here in this picture that we'll look at tonight, or this morning. And let me tell you, first of all, a serpent was an appropriate figure. Why? Because it was a serpent in the garden that deceived our mother Eve. It was a serpent. It was a snake. And Satan appeared as a serpent. And he's called that old serpent in the Revelation. He's called Apollyon. He called that because he's a deceiver. You can't recognize him. And he appeared as a serpent. An old sneaky, sorry, filthy, rotten snake. And our Lord even called those Pharisees, he called them serpents one time, vipers and serpents. He called them that. And so it deceived Eve, and we was cursed. Adam was cursed because of that. And the curse came upon the human race because of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. And our Lord Jesus Christ was cursed for us. He was made a curse for us to save us from the curse of the law. And why wasn't it one of the actual serpents, one of those serpents that died, why didn't he take that and put it up on a pole? Why didn't he do that? Because it would have been like a sinner representing himself. So it had to be something other than that one that destroyed him. You know, that one that bit him and caused him to die. What it would be a sinner representing himself. It was a serpent that bit him, and how can you put a serpent that bit him up on a pole? It'd be like sinner saving himself. And it had to be brass. It had to be a brass, a likeness, made just like that fiery serpent, made in an image of that fiery serpent. And that's the way our Lord Jesus Christ was. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was not sinful flesh. He had a body like we have. But he was a sinless man, a perfect man. He was the God-man. And I tell you what, now Lord Jesus Christ, God made him, took him, and put him in our place. Made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And this serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness was just a type of our Lord Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. And why was it a serpent of brass? Why? Why was it a serpent of brass? Well, brass speaks of two things. Two things. First of all, it's an emblem or a picture of God's judgment. You remember when you first went in the tabernacle, the first thing you saw other than the light over on the left side and the table of showbread here, but right in the center of it, there was an altar of brass. A brazen altar. And those sacrifices was put on that brazen altar. And it was fire that consumed those sacrifices on that brazen altar. And that shows us that the fire that was on that and consumed them sacrifices on that brazen altar was a representative of God's judgment upon the sacrifice. And I tell you what, if the fire fell on those things, And it always speaks of judgment. And God himself said that sometimes he'd make the heavens brass for us. And I tell you what, when they get brass, it gets awful. It gets awful. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he's represented as the judge, coming back to be a judge, he's represented there as having feet of brass. Why does he have feet of brass? To trample his enemies. To trample in judgment upon his enemies. No wonder they said, "Oh, hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb that sits upon that throne." And I tell you, then the second thing that brass speaks of is harder than iron, harder than silver, harder than gold. And what that talks about is our Lord's mighty strength, our Lord's great and glorious strength, because he is able. He was able, when he was on that cross, to bear the awful judgment that should have fell on us. But because he was the God-man, because he was Christ, and he had the strength and the power to stand there and take the judgment of God and the fire of God in our room instead, and able to bear it. Huh? Now let me give you seven things that these people were not told to do. Don't do these things. Don't do these things. Seven things. The first one is, don't go out here and buy you some salve or manufacture you some kind of an ointment. Don't manufacture some kind of a salve. Don't go out and get you some herbs and rub them together and get all that to heal yourself and put it on that where you're bitten by that serpent. Put that on there to be, deal with that serpent. No, our Lord, he told him here, said, look. Look at that fiery serpent. He put that brass, he said, look up yonder. See, here's the thing. A multitude had already died. A multitude already died. And here's the thing about it. We died in our father Adam. We was all bitten with fiery serpents. We all got bad blood. And that bad blood, the only thing that can heal that bad blood is the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, it's like that woman when she went to all the physicians. She had an issue of blood. She went to every doctor, spent every penny she had. And you know what the scripture said? She just got worse. She got worse. You know when she was healed? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Oh my. I tell you, beloved, I tell you what, people, you know, they go over to Israel and they'll get a bottle of water, get it out of the Jordan River. And these preachers and them stuff, the guys go over there and get some of that water out of the Jordan River and bring it back and sell it to people and say, this is holy water. They got all kinds of, you know, all kinds of stuff to try to get folks to do anything but look to Christ. And they were, and I tell you, second thing they were told, don't minister to others. Don't minister to others. Don't go out and start trying to win souls and knocking on doors to soothe yourselves and to heal yourselves, to get relief for yourselves. And this social gospel that tells people that if you do good and you'll help the poor and you'll go feed the hungry and you go on Thanksgiving and you stand there and cut the turkey and give them the gravy and give them the dressing and you do that and you go and get all these places and do that and then give a whole bunch of food and all that kind of stuff, don't minister to others. Don't believe this social gospel. A drowning man can't save another drowning man. And I tell you, a dead man can't raise another dead man. You can witness all you want to. We ought to witness. We ought to pray for people. We ought to help people. But here's the thing about it. It's not to save your soul. There's nothing you can do that will get to relief to your soul. Don't go out here and try to do something for somebody else, because I tell you what, just to get relief for yourself, because it won't work. It won't work. And here's another thing. Here's a third thing they were told not to do. Don't get you a stick and go killing snakes. Don't get you a stick. Don't go fighting them. Don't go fighting them serpents. Don't go fighting them. Don't go fighting them. Huh? Oh, my, if they'd have killed 1,000 serpents, they still would die. They still would die. Because they were already bitten. And you know, the average Baptist church, the average church anywhere, what they'll do is say, well, let's get a committee together. We need a committee. Who's going to be the chairman of it? Well, what are we going to do? We're going to kill serpents. We're going to kill snakes. How are you going to do it? Well, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. I tell you what I said. We're going to fight communism. We're going to fight drinking. Oh, my. We're going to fight strong drink. We're going to fight picture shows. Oh, don't you dare go to a picture show. We're going to fight abortion. We're going to fight rock music. We're going to fight ever. We're going to fight anything that moves, rises, and wriggles. We're going to find something wrong with it. But I'll tell you what, you can fight pornography, you can fight everything that everybody does, but I'll tell you one thing, it's never, ever healed one soul or brought one person to Christ. There's 6,000 or 7,000 preachers got together here recently, and they got to dealing with one thing. They all decided they was going to deal with one thing and miss the gospel. But we can fight everything under the sun. But I'm telling you one thing, it won't bring one soul to Christ. It won't do it. I don't believe, I don't like communism, but that's not the gospel. Preaching against abortion is not the gospel. Preaching against country music or rock music or any other kind of music is not the gospel. And you know, people have geographical sins. Fellas tell me the other day, he was doing something and sitting out in his back, and he was enjoying himself and smoking a cigarette and sitting there, and this woman next door come over and said, "Boy, you said, you know, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life." And you know, found out other things, but she was living with the fella next door. But you know, I ain't smoke a cigarette, I ain't take a drink. But I'm living fornication, I'm living adultery. And I remember years ago, fundamentalists, you know, they used to think this. They said, a fellow asked a guy one time, "Do y'all do mixed bathing?" He said, "No, when I get in the bathtub, I get there by myself." He said, "No, I'm talking about swimming. Talk about swimming. Didn't you men and women swimming together?" He said, "Well, yeah, of course we do." And I know a preacher that I used to go preach for. When he'd go to the beach, he'd wear a white shirt, black pants, and wear his shoes because he was afraid to be on the beach in shorts or anything. He thought he'd dishonor the Lord. But people, that's what I'm telling you. They think these kind of things makes them more commendable, and that they're fighting sin. They're really fighting sin. But once you're bitten by that fiery serpent, fight it all you want to, but you will not put away one of them and kill 1,000 serpents, and it won't help. Huh? Oh, my. And here's the fourth thing they were told not to do. Don't make an offering to the serpent. Oh, my. Bring your tithe to the storehouse, and God will open the heavens. Oh, my, he'll give you so much. But there's no payment price for healing for life. You can't buy grace. You can't buy grace. You can't buy grace by working. People say, "I believe salvation is by grace, but God will give you grace if." But if it's of works, it's no longer grace. And it's of grace, it's not of works, it's not of merit, it's not of worth, it's not anything that you can do. I tell you what, if you ever try to get God to do something for you, the minute you try to do that, the second you do that, it ceases to be grace. If you pray expecting God to do something, you know, that you're because you pray, that gives you some insight. Just because you attend a service, because you give some money, and you think that, well, that surely God will bless that. The only reason God blesses anybody for anything in this world is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing we've ever said, done, or thought. If I ever get anything from God, it's going to be because of Christ. Huh? I'm not going to bring my preaching. I'm not going to bring my prayers. I'm not going to bring my tears. I'm not going to bring my church attendance. I'm going to bring my devotion. I'm coming just like I did the first time I come, holding your steadfast, your confidence, the beginning to the end. What was my confidence when I first come to Christ? That I was a sinner and Christ was the only one that could save me. And I'm going to stay right there until God calls me home. That's where I'm going. I'm going to drive my stake down there. I come to Christ as a sinner and I'm going to stay right there. I ain't got any better. If I have anything else, I've got worse. wouldn't do for y'all to hang around my house and see how sorry I am. It just wouldn't do. It just wouldn't do. Oh, don't hang around. Come visit me every once in a while, but don't stay too long. I'll end up doing something, saying something that'll say, oh, that preacher, I don't know if I want even to hear him again. Oh, my. And I tell you, here's the fifth thing they were told not to do. They were told not to pray to the serpent. Oh, they were told not to pray. I'm going to pray through. I'm going to pray. I seen something other day. It was called knee mail. You ever heard of knee mail? That gets on your knees and you send mail to heaven. Yeah, sure, somebody on their knees sending knee mail up. Does God need mail? You reckon God gets mail? People write to Santa Claus, he don't exist, but send up knee mail. Oh my. But that's what people say, if I could just pray through. And people say this all the time. I prayed really, really hard. How do you pray really, really hard? Huh? How do you do that? Either you pray or you don't. You can pray without opening your lips. You remember when Eli was sitting there, the high priest, and Hannah came in and she was praying. And her lips weren't moving. I mean, you know, and she was praying and her lips were moving. And he thought, well, boy, she's drunk. She's just in here and she's not, her lips are not moving. She's not praying. She said, oh, no, I'm praying. He said, what are you doing here drunk? She said, I'm praying, but her lips weren't moving. He said, well, what in the world are you doing? She said, I'm asking God to do something for me. And her lips never moved. It's like coming to Christ. You can come to Christ and not move a muscle. You can pray to God and never open your lips. How do people pray that can't talk? How do people look to Christ that's blind? How does that happen? How do people hear the voice of God that's deaf? Oh my. Pray through to what? People use such, and listen, I was sure wish you all would pray hard for me. How do you do that? Oh my. And here's the sixth thing they were told not to do. Don't look over yonder at Moses. Moses can't help you. Moses represents the law. Oh, the law came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he changed and glistened like the sun. Appeared Moses and Elijah appeared unto him. And they come to talk about what his death would accomplish. And I tell you what, in all to him, you know, talking about Moses, to him all the prophets gave witness. And I tell you, Moses, you know, our Lord Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you'd believe me. Moses wrote of me. Moses, when he wrote this story right here about that serpent lifted up, he was writing about Christ. When he did, said in Deuteronomy 6, 8, 18, 15, said, there shall be a prophet risen up like unto me. Him shall God give witness. Him shall God give his word. So all he talked about was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, don't look to Moses. Don't look to the law. Law can't do, all the thing law can do is show you how bad you've been bitten. And here's the last thing they were told not to do, the seventh thing. Don't look at your wounds. Boy, don't look at your wounds. Oh my, what am I going to do about my wounds? I get skinned up worse than anybody. I put on a shirt this morning and I had two or three skins on there and got blood on them. Had to change shirts and put band-aids all over my arm. Surely did. But I tell you what, that's, if I don't look at my wound, no. And this is what people do when they look at their wounds. Well, I don't know if I'm a big enough sinner. I don't know if I felt sinful enough. I don't know if I'm a bad enough sinner. You know, I don't know if I've sinned enough. You was born with enough sin. You was born with it. But oh my, don't look at the wounds. Don't look and see how bad you have to be. How bad do I have to be? Well, I tell you what. They say, if I get to where I can be bad enough sinner, then maybe God will save me. No. No, all they had to do was be bitten. Just bitten. And then Moses said, look up yonder. Look at that serpent on that brass pole. Now, here's the positive side. That's the negative side. Let's look at the positive side. Back over here in Numbers. Look at it with me. When these people were bitten, and that serpent had venom in it, and it caused these people to die. And look what this serpent was provided by God Himself. In verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. This was the Lord's provision. God made this provision for these people. These people spake against God, spake against Moses. And if you know, and God let a multitude of them die. But boy, to save them, to save those that would look, God said, listen, make thee a brass serpent, put it on a pole. God told him to do this. It was the Lord's provision. Moses was commanded by God to make the serpent. The people were stunned by this fiery serpent and mortally wounded. I mean, they're going to die. And that blood was, that poison that was filled in those fiery serpents had poison in it. Caused them to die. Caused them to die. And that's the way we are. We got blood, our blood. Got sin in it. And that serpent was lifted up under Moses, the law. And that serpent, when it was lifted up under Moses, the law, Moses couldn't do anything. All he could do is say, look, the law says, look to Christ. Don't look to me. And that serpent was lifted up. And here's the second thing. Not only is that, and then the Lord provided this. This is the thing. Our Lord God, God in heaven Himself, Almighty God, Sovereign God, Immutable God, before the world ever began, our Lord Heavenly Father, our God, He sent His Son on purpose to do one thing, and that was to live a life that you and I could not live, to die a death we could not die, to pay a debt we could not pay. And He has hung out publicly. God provided for us. That's why He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the reason Christ came. God so loved who? The world. What kind of world? People like us, of every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every people on the face of this earth, every kind of character, like people like us in this service here. And I tell you what, God provided it, God did it. And man wants to do everything but do what God says to do. When God told Moses to make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole, what if Moses said, no, I don't want to do that. You all deserve to die. Every one of you deserve to die. You've been talking about God. You don't like it. You don't like what He provides for. I tell you, every one of you ought to die. But no. And if God had left us to ourselves, we would have died, and we'd done been in hell a long time ago. But God provided for us this blessed Savior and lifted Him up. Huh? God did that. And I tell you, here's the second thing. That serpent was hung out publicly. Publicly. That everybody could look. Everybody could look. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He was set out publicly. Oh my, our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, this thing wasn't done in a corner. God set Him forth. Set Him forth in His Word. Set Him forth in this world. Set Him forth on the cross. And hung Him up for everybody to see. And I tell you what, the only thing He had on His body, He didn't have one of these little aprons hung around Him. He was hanging there naked. And the only thing He had on, and there was a crown of thorns on His body. He was hanging there bloody, beaten, and broken. Beaten to a bloody pulp. And He was hung there, and when He was hanging there publicly, there was five people there that believed Him and trusted Him and looked to Him. And then there was a sixth one, and that was that thief who was hung on the cross beside Him and said, Lord, remember me! When? When you come to your kingdom. He knew right then and there there was a kingdom. Nicodemus didn't know it. I know it, you know it, that there's a kingdom. And that's what He said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. He said, today. And He hung Him out publicly. And beloved, there's not very many people going to look to Christ. But without looking to Him, there is no salvation for anybody. And I'll tell you this much. If God don't give you eyes to see, you'll never see. You'll be like Nicodemus. How can I be born again? I'm going to get in my mother's womb and come out? You'll be just like you was the first time you was born. Flesh. But I tell you, our Lord was hung out publicly. And even that man, that centurion there that was responsible for crucifying Him that day. When he cried out and all those things happened after his death, the rocks rolled into and the veils and the earth quaked. He said, truly, truly, this was the Son of God, this righteous man. Huh? Oh my. He was made a public spectacle. A public spectacle. And oh my. And you know what them Pharisees, they said, I tell you what, that deceiver said that he's going to rise again on the third day. He said, just to make sure that they don't come and steal his body and say that he rose again, put a watch on it. Get some guards and sit there and watch that grave. Make sure he don't come back out. And they don't steal him. Guards. What did the Lord's doing to make sure he don't get out? That'd be like somebody watching over our graves. Make sure we don't raise from the dead when we're in our graves. Oh my goodness. If you're standing on somebody's grave, this is decoration. People love to, we go and decorate our loved ones' graves. We put flowers and we go show our love for them, our respect for them, and for the military, we put out our flags. But I tell you one thing, if you're standing there putting flowers on your loved ones' graves, the day the Lord Jesus comes back, you're going to be surprised because they're coming up, and then after they get up and they all start going up, while you're standing there watching them come up, you're going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to be caught up together with them, meet the Lord there. How would you like to be standing there and watch one of them come up? You say, how can that happen? Same way God made the world. If He can make a world, believe me, He can bring everybody body out of the grave. Ain't that something to look forward to? Oh my. Oh my. I'll tell you. And then there's the Lord's promise. Here's the third thing, the Lord's promise. Look what He said, verse 8 and 9 here. He says this, the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass, and it always does when God says something, that everyone that is bitten, now here's the key right here, everyone that's bitten, if you got sin, you've been bitten, and you got Adam's sin in you, and you got this blood that's got sin in it, and here, listen, he said, if you've been everyone that's been bitten, when he looketh upon that brass serpent, shall live. Huh? And God, and that's a promise that God made. And Moses made that serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass, just like God said it would, it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. God said, you look, and you can have life. Huh? Oh, I tell you, Moses, not the law, couldn't save these people. The only way they were saved, the only way they was healed, the only way they was made whole, was by looking to that brazen serpent. And only by salvation. The only way, and this is why we, is by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. I never get tired of hearing that. Looking to Christ. And I tell you what, Peter stood and he said this, on the day of Pentecost, he said, there's no other name. There's not a name under heaven. Not a name under heaven. Not Moses. Not Abraham. Not Noah. Not Peter. Not Paul. Not the Pope. No man. No name under heaven given among men. And listen to this, whereby we must be saved other than Jesus Christ. And if I have told you this time and time and time again, if I could ever get a multitude to preach to, that's all I would preach. I would preach, I'd preach to them that there's no other, there's not a Savior. Allah doesn't exist. There's no other God. There's no other Savior. There's nobody in this universe that can do anything for anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God said that. God said, I gave him a name. What's in a name? In Christ, everything. I gave him a name that's above every name. And because he gave him a name above every name, one of these days he said, I swore by righteousness that every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So God will get all the glory. And you know that's how we know the gospel. Does God get all the glory in your salvation? Does he get all every bit of it? You don't take none to yourself, do you? What did you do to save yourself? What did you do to make better yourself? Oh my. Our Lord says no man comes unto the Father but by me. And that serpent was lifted up. So those who, there were people right about on the verge of dying. On the verge of dying. Old people, young people, it's all in between, husbands and wives, both of them bit. And they said, just look. And if you was down and you had to turn your head like this to look, as long as you looked, you could get up and walk. You could get up and move. That venom in you was gone just that quick. And that's what meant by stripes we're healed. And let me give you this right quick. A serpent killed and wounded these people. A serpent brought life and healed these people. And I tell you what, it brought life by a look. A serpent killed them, a serpent lifted up was what healed them. Life by a look. Our God, as far as God's concerned, there's only two men in this world. Two men in this world. Adam and Christ. Two men. God looks at everybody, one or the other. two men in God's purpose. By one man, this man Adam, sin entered into this world. And death passed upon all men because every one of us sinned. Death passed upon us. But then, by one man's righteousness, and that a gift, many were made righteous. You see, by Adam came death. By Christ came life. By Adam came sin. By Christ came righteousness. By Adam, we got an evil nature. By Christ, we get a holy nature. By Adam, we're separated from God. By Christ, we're reconciled to God. We have reconciliation. And let me tell you this, that brazen serpent healed only the wounds of the body. And it's saved from temporal death. It's going to die anyway. Eventually. But our Lord Jesus Christ, by His stripes we're healed. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He heals not only the serpents just healed the body. And they're going to just release from temporal death. But Christ saves eternally. Christ, when He gives you life, it's an eternal life. I tell you what, And He put away the cause of death, which was sin. Yeah, He put away the cause of death, which was sin. And I tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ, He heals the root, not just the branches. And I tell you, He heals all who are bitten. And here's the third thing about it. This serpent lost its virtue to heal. Do you know that? After a while, that serpent didn't heal any more people. Huh? Didn't heal any more people. Not any more people. And I'm going to show you why. Look over here in 2 Kings 18. Look here in 2 Kings 18. In verse 4. I'll wait on you to get over there. The serpent lost its virtue to heal and saved, and was not to be worshipped. Look what he said here. In verse 4. I'm in 1 Kings. I'm not even in 2 Kings. I'm sorry. Did I tell you 2 Kings? Okay. It wouldn't hurt for me to be there. I'm sorry. Look what he says here now in verse 4. He's talking about Hezekiah. He removed the high places and broke the images or statues that the people had made, cut down the groves, and listen to this, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense unto it, and he called it Nehushtan, that is, a piece of brass. These folks turned that piece of brass into salvation for salvation for themselves. But I tell you what, that lost its virtue to heal and was not to be worshipped. But our Lord's blood and power to save will never, ever lose its power. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. Oh my, He's to be worshipped forever. Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power. And let me hurry. I'll tell you what, I didn't realize I've taken so much. I'm sorry. No matter how many times and how much poison was in a man, he was told to look and to live. If the eyes was weak, they could still look and live. And weak faith, if you got the faith of a mustard seed, I don't care how weak it is, if it's true faith, it'll save you. True faith save. Just touch the hem of His garment. The hem of His garment. And here's the fifth thing. Let me hurry on. The serpent was unlikely, most unlikely thing to human nature or human reason to heal the wounds. What in the world can a serpent of brass do for me? What in the world can a serpent of brass do for me? And that's the way people look to Christ. I don't need Jesus Christ. I'm all right. I don't need Him. I don't need anything He's ever done for me. But that's why Christ crucifies foolishness to so many people. But to those who look to Him, it's not foolishness. It's the very power and wisdom of God. It's every life from the dead. And last of all, let me give you this. Man become a lost sinner by a look. Do you know that? Eve saw that the tree was good for food. She ate that food. Saw it was good for food. And a sinner saved by a look. Our Lord said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I'm a just God. I'm a just God and a Savior." Life starts by a look. And our salvation continues with a look. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And it will end with a look. We're looking for the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Huh? And oh my, from start to finish, the only thing required is looking. Looking, looking, looking. Looking, looking, looking. Our Father, in the blessed name of our Lord, great glorious name, that name is above every name. We bow to that name. We worship Him and all is connected with Him. Lord, we look to You for our salvation. We look to You for our final salvation when You call us out of this world and we get to go to be with You. We look to You for the end of our salvation, even when You appear without sin unto salvation for us who are looking for You. Lord, we're looking. We're looking. We're watching. We're waiting. And Lord, You'll come. You'll come. You'll come. You'll come at the right time. You'll come at the right time for every one of us. And Lord, we thank You. And God bless these dear saints and cause the gospel to be effectual in the hearts today. And I pray it was a blessing. Lord, by the Holy Spirit, make it fruitful. Make it real. Make it vital. Forgive us of everything that's unlike You. Bring glory to Yourself through us. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim by the light of His glory and grace. See you tonight.